Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenters for this week, Carmel O'Donoghue and myself, John Bourne. Coming up on this afternoon's programme, I'll be talking to Mrs. Helena Kovarikova, director of an organisation entitled Unique, and we'll be finding out about their primary role in European cultural issues. Carmen will have a quick rundown on all the happenings across Europe, and we'll have a look at some of the things of Irish interest that have been making the headlines as well. We'll have some wonderful music from France and the Czech Republic, so stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour on your programme Europe Today. The days of paying excessive fees for car rental elsewhere in the EU could soon be at an end. Europcar, Avis and Hertz have agreed not to charge customers different rates for cars booked online in one country, which would be driven in another EU state. The move means that car rental rates by the major companies within the EU should stabilise in the coming years. Caroline Gornin of the European Consumer Centre in Dublin says this is a great victory for motoring tourists.
So consumers will now be able to start and complete online bookings on any national website of a rental company. So for example, if one of the companies might have a website aimed at Italian consumers or aimed at French consumers, Irish consumers can go onto one of those websites if they offer better prices and they won't be redirected back onto the Irish site.
A team of scientists at UCD have been selected for dedicated funding from the European Commission to develop therapies to address the problem of chemotherapy resistance in colorectal cancer. Close on 800 people die of colorectal cancer each year in Ireland. The UCD team have received over €500,000 under the EU Framework 7 programme. Dr. Marion Rafferty of Oncomark at UCD says the objective of the research is to establish who is appropriate to receive chemotherapy.
What we're trying to do is try to identify those patients who should receive it and those who shouldn't receive it. In our project, we've got like 7 partners around Europe who are working together to develop an assay that can predict who will respond and who will not respond to chemotherapy.
The lineup of the new EU Commission has been formally ratified by the European Parliament. MEPs in Strasbourg voted by 423 votes to 209 to approve the 28 nominated commissioners. Phil Hogan from Kilkenny, who takes up the position of EU Agricultural Commissioner on November the 1st, says food security will be his immediate priority.
Well, one of the big issues is really food security. My initial and major responsibility is to ensure that we have sufficient farming practice in place to ensure that we have, to feed the populations of Europe and play our part in the world global challenges for food security. And to do that in a sustainable way environmentally, and to do so with making sure that we have a viable agriculture and viable farmers.
This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today and 103.2 Dublin City FM. EU and Japanese researchers are joining forces to deliver the 1 gigabyte Olympics. They have announced 4 research projects to develop new technologies for high-speed networks in highly dense user areas. Researchers will deliver more than 1 gigabyte bandwidth for each member of the crowd at the Tokyo Olympic Stadium, right in time for the 2020 Olympics. Mara Gagan-Quinn, European Researcher, Innovation and Science Commissioner, was awarded Honorary Fellowship of the Royal College of Physicians of Ireland at a ceremony in Dublin recently. Honorary Fellowship is the highest award the college can bestow. An EU study estimates $177 billion was lost in VAT in 2012 due to non-compliance or non-collection. This equates to 16% of total expected VAT revenues of the 26 member states. The VAT gap in 2012 ranged from 5% in Finland and the Netherlands to 44% in Romania. The VAT gap for Ireland was 11% in 2012. This was down from 12% the previous year. Ireland has the highest percentage, 65%, of first resident permits issued for education reasons, compared to an EU average of 20%. Last year, 2.36 million first residence permits were issued in the EU to non-EU citizens, including 33,000 of them to Ireland. The European Parliament gave its strong support to the new European Commission, with 423 votes in favour, 209 against and 67 abstentions. Irish nominee Phil Hogan was thus confirmed as the new EU Commissioner for Agriculture and Rural Development. Pending final approval by the European Council, the Juncker Commission will start its term of office on the 1st of November this year. Ireland is one of a number of countries with relatively high tuition fees, according to a new report. There are stark differences between levels of student tuition fees, grants and loans across Europe. It also shows that fee systems have remained relatively stable across the continent, despite some notable exceptions. Germany is the only country to recently abolish tuition fees, despite introducing them only in 2007. The highest fees in Europe are in the UK. This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
Lorsque je suis arrivée pour la capitale, j'aurais voulu devenir une femme fatale. Mais je ne buvais pas, je ne me droguais pas, je n'avais aucun complexe. Je suis beaucoup trop normale, ça me vexe. Je ne suis pas parisienne, ça me gêne, ça me gêne. Je ne suis pas dans le vent, c'est narrant, aucune bizarrerie, ça m'ennuie, ça m'ennuie. Pas la moindre affectation, je ne suis pas dans le ton. Je ne suis pas végétarienne, ça me gêne, ça me gêne. Je ne suis pas karatéka, ça me met dans l'embarras. Je ne suis pas cinéphile, c'est débile, c'est débile. Je ne suis pas MLF, je sens qu'on m'en fait grief. M'en fait grief. Bientôt, j'ai fait connaissance d'un groupe d'amis vivant en communauté dans le même lit. Comme je ne buvais pas, je ne me droguais pas, je n'avais aucun complexe. Je crois qu'ils en sont restés tout perplexes. Je ne suis pas nymphomane, on me blâme, on me blâme. Je ne suis pas travesti, ça me nuit, ça me nuit. Je ne suis pas masochiste, ça existe, ça existe. Pour réussir mon destin, je vais voir le médecin. Je ne suis pas schizophrène, ça me gêne, ça me gêne. Je ne suis pas hystérique, ça se complique. Oh, dit le psychanalyste, que c'est triste, je lui dis, je désespère. Je n'ai pas de goût pervers, de goût pervers. Me dit le docteur, c'est rhabillant. Après ce premier essai, c'est encourageant. Si vous ne buvez pas, vous ne vous droguez pas, je n'avais aucun complexe. Vous avez une obsession, c'est le sexe. Depuis je suis à la mode, je me rôde dans les lits de Saint-Germain, c'est divin, je fais partie de l'élite, ça va vite, et je me donne avec joie tout en faisant du yoga. Je vois les films d'épouvante, je m'invente, assez rentré dans la main du voisin, mais ça change original. Je cavale, j'assume ma libido, je vais draguer en vélo. Maintenant je suis parisienne, je me sermène, et je connais la maîtresse et le cavale. Enfin à l'écologie, je m'initie, et loin de la pollution, je vais tendre mes moutons.
The Czech Republic is the focus of our music for today, and that is riding high at number 2 in the Czech Republic. But believe it or not, it's from a French artist called Zaz, and it's a track called La Parisienne.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
Unique is the network of European National Institutes for Culture. Unique has 32 members from 27 countries that are based in over 150 countries with more than 2,000 branches and thousands of local partners. The Unique network is based on open cooperation and works in a bottom-up NGO style with a compact, independent and flexible administration. To tell us a little bit more about this wonderful organisation, Europe Today got to speak to the director of Unique, Mrs. Helena Kovarikova.
Helena, thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us on Europe Today. Helena, what do you see as their primary role for Unique?
Well, I don't know to which extent you are aware of UNIC activities and what UNIC stands for. It is European Union National Institute for Culture.
Yep.
And it brings together 33 members from 27 EU member states. And
yep.
These are this is the network of national culture institutes. So we are advocating for a European culture agenda as adopted by Creative Europe program, meaning we are looking into the themes of European values, of creative industries, of intercultural dialogue, conflict prevention, rule of law, etc., etc. We are working both in Europe and outside Europe, especially outside Europe in third countries, looking into building trust and catering
for
cultural external relations. We are aiming to go beyond nation branding, actually, and working as Europeans, bringing European values, as I said, and presenting Europe as one entity. Though still very diverse, this is the common denominator of UNIC.
Fantastic. And what are your most difficult challenges at the moment, Helena?
I have to say we have quite well-developed network, overall network of 90 clusters.
Fantastic.
Operating in 93 countries worldwide. But the challenges are that there is a different maturity level of the development of individual national institutes. Some, if you can imagine, we have the big ones like Goethe Institute, British Council, with established governance, but some still emerging and getting out of their national identities and branding and bringing the European dimension, which is a process which is still work in progress, I would say.
And this is something that you encourage, because at the moment we're looking forward to a cross-platform cultural cooperation. It's just a small little initiative called the Short Shorts. It's a film festival that's happening in Dublin in a couple of weeks' time. And that involves the Goethe Institute, the Alliance Française, the Romanian Cultural Institute, the British Council and the Cervantes Institute. Is that something that you're constantly encouraging all the time?
That's what we did, definitely so, but this is the cluster work in the given country.
Yeah.
But we are even stepping outside of this box, because this is what's happening in collaboration with different countries, but also we are trying to encourage European clusters, because half of the clusters works in Europe, half of the clusters works in third countries, and we are now more encouraging the European clusters to take over the responsibility and cooperate with, say, clusters which are in the neighborhood countries, for instance, or which are in MENA countries, so that the cooperation is inter-cluster even. So this is a very good collaboration, which we can see in Dublin, but also we need to step out and have the well-established clusters to lead the hand for those who need it.
Is the function of UNIC in a financial capacity?
Well, there are all sorts of support and funding, of course. You are talking to the UNIC Global Office, which is the international non-profit organization based in Brussels, and very efficient and flexible, because there are only two people sitting in Brussels with giving the chance to few interns. And we are supported by the membership fees of UNIC members. And on top of this, we created the UNIC Cluster Fund, so to speak. And we are encouraging with financial support the projects which come from the clusters, because we want to have the process bottom up. We don't want to impose the themes, the individual themes to clusters, because they are the culture operators operating in the field, and they know the best what will work for the given country.
Indeed.
So this is the cluster fund, plus We were very lucky that we were successful in the bidding process within the Creative Europe program, the first call for support of networks, and we got the 3 years project, which is called Crossroads for Culture, which is in fact capacity building for our members.
Fantastic. And you're also involved in, I see something that seems to be very special to you, is the involvement of Unique in the Middle East, and you have some involvement there. Could you tell us a tiny little bit about that?
We are looking very much to capacity building. We are just about to have a very good, very well thought out and structured project with the Minister of Culture in Tunisia, for instance.
Well done, so yeah. This
is a lot of capacity building and culture management training, but also we have quite big pilot projects which are looking into creative industries, support to creative industries, and the one I would speak high about would be the Creative Jordan.
And you also have something as well going, if I can get the pronunciation right, it's a language initiative that you started. It's the Polyglotty. Can you give us some details about how that operates?
Well, we are, if you think of Unique members, so many of them are into language teaching, support of teacher training, and multilingualism, of course, be it literary translations and stuff. So we are engaging in multilingual issues, and there were several of these. Just to name the few, we were part of the Language Rich Research Project. Then we are still maintaining the website of the Polyglotty Project, which is in fact catering for civil society platform on multilingualism, bringing NGOs who cater for these issues. So the Unique Global is still the one who is maintaining the website as being a platform.
All right. Okay.
For multilingual colleagues.
Okay, fantastic.
Working in multilingual field.
Fantastic. Now, Helena, there has been, as we speak, there's a new European Commission, and I know you work with the European Commission. Are you expecting any different interaction between your organisation, Unique, and the new, we have a new Commissioner for Education and Culture. Have you got some new requests for him, or are you expecting any new interaction between your two organizations?
Two organizations, yes, there is the interaction which will be actually happening because we are part of this support network. So
yep.
It is a very big credit and recognition of Unique. Of course, the project was designed with lots of activities, which we will stick to. But, of course, there is the ongoing communication of how best to fit the DG education and culture. Unique, in fact, is aiming to be a partner of choice for European institutions, be it European Commission and External Action Service as well.
Okay, so is it sort of irrelevant to you whether there's a new commission or whether it's the old commission? It doesn't really influence, or does it have an effect on the running of your organisation?
No, because there has to be interaction between whoever sits there.
Okay, right. Helena, again, all people can find out a lot more about Unique on the web. Your website, if you wouldn't mind giving me the details there, please.
Of course not. We are trying to have it updated, of course. And there is a new development. May I?
Yeah, go ahead.
There is a very important and new development that which we experienced with Croatia as the youngest European Union member, that we really helped to create the Croatian house, so to speak, which is the Culture Institute of Croatia.
All right.
And we are thinking of enhancing this activity with the neighboring countries as well.
Okay.
So I
yeah.
just returned from Kiev, where there was the cultural conference with the Minister of Culture, and this will be one of the ways of how to cooperate with enlargement countries or neighborhood countries to help them to be associate member of Unique at the first instance, and once the process is accomplished to really have Ukrainian Culture Institute as a member of Unique.
Oh, look, that would be absolutely fantastic, especially at the moment. Helena, the other thing as well, I know you're very keen to promote the development of your new app, You have a new app in development. When can we expect that to be available for the general public?
Well, the app is available, but the app, it was the role model thing, initiative coming from my hometown, so to speak, Prague.
Yes, indeed.
From the Prague cluster, and this is the app developed there and piloted in Prague, and so it will still take some time because it's at our colleagues' cluster's discretion whether for it or not. One more remark. Mr. Barroso saying goodbye today in Bozar, and he will be presenting at the verge of his last days. He will be presenting the New Narrative of Europe book, which could be of your interest.
Elena, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us on Europe today.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Cestou, tím směrem, prý bych se dávno měl dát. Když sněží, jde to stěží, ale sněhy pak tají. Sněhy ti zanech, ty slíbí a dají. Víc síly se prát, na dně víc dávat, než brát. A i když se vleče a je schůdná jen v kleče, nutí přestat se zbytečně ptát, jestli se blížím k cíli. Kolik zbývá víry, kam zvou svodidla, co pod mě nelžou. Snad souvám zpátky a plítvám mi doma neotevřou, nebo jít s proudem, na lusknutí prstů se začít hned smát, mít svůj chodník slávy a před sebou davy a přes skroucená záda být součástí stáda, ale zpívat a hrát, kotníky líbat a stát na křídlech všech slavíků a vlastně už ze zvyku přestat se zbytečně ptát, jestli se blíží k cíli. Kolik zbývá víry, kam zvou svodidla, co pod mě nelžou. Zda jsou mi doma neotevřou.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, a very, very special thank you to the director of the European Union National Institutes for Culture, Mrs. Helena Kovarnikova. Don't forget to check out our support website platform, europetoday.ie, which will have a podcast of today's programme and links to all the different items that we've mentioned as well. Join me again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme, Europe Today.